The existence of God. What can be asserted without evidence can be dismissed without evidence. Christopher Hitchens. If you are sensitive about religion or philosophy or free thinking when it comes to God and doubt and limited understanding, you might want to skip this chapter. In the last chapter, Understanding the Human Mind, I already took some time to define in basic terms how the brain works. It's a network of neurons that can be trained and/or that can learn by modifying the connections and modifying, inhibiting/propagating connection strengths of neural connections. In computer programming, we create a sequence of steps for a computer to follow in our program code. It's very rigid. The brain does not work like this. It is a massively parallel and fairly unpredictable computer when compared to robots and machine intelligences. Consider that a robot exists that can make nearly 100% of shots from three-point range. No human can reproduce those results, which require machine learning, machine vision, and precision robotics. Philosophers have embarked on a centuries-old mission to understand and recreate brains. They've shoehorned basic brain functions into the static and unbending logic of computer circuits. The results are nothing short of amazing. But we have to admit, the computers cannot even come close to the depth of intelligence of a real human brain. Computer programmers accomplished enough, however, to validate some theories we have about how the brain works. The discovery upended the religious debate, since it implies that consciousness and self exist in the structure of our neurons, mostly or completely. The discoveries made about how the brain works have put in doubt traditional ideas of the soul, the blues music community's understanding of soul notwithstanding. The soul is thought by the old school to exist separately from the body. It was reasoned that the soul could be detached and could float into a mythic realm of divinity upon death, where the righteous would experience eternal bliss and acceptance, while the unrighteous would experience horrific damnation of various described forms. It's understandable why science and Western religious tradition have knocked heads so vociferously, since this theory gained traction in mainstreams and academic spheres. If the soul is intricately dependent upon the physical structure of the body, that implies that when the body dies, the soul dies, and that our self dies forever. Yet, many religions have the concept of eternal life ingrained in doctrine and promise eternal salvation/life in return for being moral. It's understandable how easily this promise is often abused by extending it to include other unethical and illegal favors. Thou shalt not compete with this business. Thou shalt prostitute so-and-so's wife. Thou shalt not question mass surveillance. Thou shalt not build disruptive enterprises. Thou shalt not speak freely about controversial ideas. It puts into question the ability of the church to help foster morality and constitutionality. When the scientific community proved the assertion that the self is dependent upon the structure of the brain, it diminished the value of a primary proposition of the religious community, eternal life. Even the notion that the soul might not be able to separate from the body struck fear into the hearts of warriors for righteousness. An important arrow, living forever in fire or living forever in bliss, was pulled from the quiver. In a classic hold my beer moment, the scientific community piled on with their correct conclusion that self or soul is dependent upon the structure of the brain, and that when the brain decomposes after death, that is the end, regardless of how one has lived life. There may be another way to achieve something parallel to the eternal life that is relentlessly pursued by the technocratic community. They are now trying to model human brains in software. A person's consciousness, soul, or self could be scanned and replicated in a computer. The fact that the universe is expanding and there might not always be inhabitable places for machine, plant, person, bacteria, or any other living creature notwithstanding, the scientific community that is pursuing artificial consciousness, if correct, could extend a person's theoretical lifespan to millions of years if we had robots that made the stuff, and robots that can make themselves. Unfortunately for scientists, they may not achieve expectations despite thrilling or chilling advances. In their computer representations of the brain, they have only created shadows. The depth of human consciousness, which is dependent on the machinery of the human body, was forged over an imperceptibly long time period in the fiery, hardening furnace of God's mysterious universe, and it is not something that can be recreated so quickly. Nonetheless, the question of whether man can achieve scientifically driven, technocratic, eternal life is still being answered at great cost to humanity and its future generations. Lesser philosophers seeking power have made a premature attempt to substitute man-made artificial intelligence for the divinity of human intelligence. I admire them for their bravery and willingness to tackle impossibly difficult tasks, but in my view, they will never overcome the power of human subatomic connections to the universe, which may have an intelligence of its own. If, for instance, the way that neurons are arranged in human craniums gives rise to our own consciousness and intelligence, it is conceivable that the way that matter in the universe is arranged could also give rise to an intelligence of its own. A sort of over-consciousness. It's the concept illustrated in Horton Hears a Who by Dr. Seuss. An entire world exists on a speck of dust. And in that world, there's another speck of dust on which another world resides, and so on. In getting your head around this concept, you have to go two directions, up and down. First, go down. Cut something in half, cut it in half again, cut it in half again. If you had the tools, how many times could you cut something in half? Now go up. Combine two things together. Combine those pieces with other pieces that have been combined. How many times could you do this? The answer is theoretical, but the question gives insight into a most likely truth. For a rather simple example of the scale, consider that our solar system might be a single atom in an inconceivably large arrangement of matter. A reasonable rearticulation of the argument goes as follows. The energy flowing around in our brain cells, which are made up of atoms, gives rise to our respective souls. Our solar system could fill a role in a massive brain-like structure, a naturally occurring one, that gives rise to a greater soul. Consider how an atom of magnesium performs a protective function against overexcitation in the brain, excitotoxicity. Being able to trust a conclusion from incomplete information is one of the superpowers of a human brain that computers will likely never do as well as humans. For those of you listening to the audiobook, seek out a picture of magnesium. Then seek out a picture of the solar system. And you be the judge.